Street Fight Radio is here. You made it. You were working. You were trying to get through. You were trying to pay some bills. You were sitting in a line at the DMV. You were upset about something governmental or regulatory in your life and just want the freedom to live. Let me live. That's all we're asking for. And so you came to Street Fight Radio so you could vent with the rest of us where this is where we do it. So welcome if it's your first time. We are here to fight for the working class and all of us folks that aren't one percenters and don't get the benefits of tax cuts. So for those of us looking to level out the entire global hierarchy system and finally live in some sort of utopia on this flat earth, this is why we come here. This is what we're here for. I show up every single week to advance that agenda. It happens out of Columbus, Ohio, the 614 area code, inside 270, the outer belt there. That's where Brian and I's stomping grounds are. You can hear us on WCRS 92.7. It's on 24/7. But Street Fight is on Sundays at 10 p.m. If we are out of town, it'll just play our newest show that's on the feed. But we've been going to the studio each week for several weeks now and taking phone calls. So Sunday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern time, we will be there taking calls. The number is 614-412-5252. And you can listen live at WCRSFM.org. Thank you, WCRS, for hosting us and putting up with our shit and taking the risk of putting us on the airwaves. We truly appreciate it. So this week has so far, I guess, been whirlwindy. I guess I realized I just got in front of the microphone without being too prepared. I had a lot of other stuff going on.
You didn't even know we were recording today.
I did not know we were recording today. I was like, you know what? I have a mystery shop. I have a swim class. I have to get a haircut. I have to drop this thing off. But I don't have to record tonight, so I have plenty of time. And then you showed up at 8. You showed up earlier than usual. You showed up at 8:30 while I was cleaning.
Well, I mean, I did. I wanted to take like a run of days off, you know, because I had to do it. I did a guest spot yesterday on the Toilet of Hell podcast. I think it's the Toilet Cast, which is the best named podcast I've done yet.
Great name.
So I did that podcast, and we did our long ass call in show on Sunday. And I'm like, I want a vacation. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday off, and all day Sunday until 10. So I was like, let's just get this fucking thing out of the way because, you know, tomorrow is like a Friday for normal working people.
Everybody.
Like, we get to have fun.
Yeah, I found out kids get the day off before Thanksgiving, which is unheard of. But I know most of the Street Fighters out there, y'all ain't even getting half days, are you?
Well, I mean, it's like,
well, I was fighting for half days before I officially left the workforce. They were like trying to do 6-hour days and shit. Like, guys, you know, it'd be real nice to leave, but we're just going to have to do it again on Monday, you know, or Friday, actually.
Yeah, everybody's working on Thanksgiving this year. Like, almost none of the businesses are closing anymore.
No, Best Buy will be open at 11 a.m.
REI will be closed. They'll take out a big ad to let everybody know they're closing.
I can't wait. Yeah, we're already in the thick of it. Christmas music is playing in my head. It's time to get this shit started, right?
It's playing in my house. I got to buy a Christmas tree this weekend. Or as we call it in my house, a Terry. Because we name all of our trees Terry. Every year we get a new tree and it's Terry. And I asked, like, is this Terry Jr.? No, just Terry. That's the name of the tree.
It's like Philadelphia's John. In the Quinby household, you have a Terry.
Yeah, you get
a Terry. Which is just any old thing is a Terry.
Well, yeah. If you have to name something and you ask me a name, the first name that comes out of my mouth is Terry. Because it's like, I've found it to be the most convenient name. It could be a man. It could be a woman. It could be non-binary. It's a very good unisex name. It's like, if I got to name a character, I want a name that I can just fire off immediately. And like, if I wrote a book, I would just name all the characters Terry. Terry 1. And then Terry 1 said to Terry 2. What if it'd be like my Twilight Zone episode would be, what if everybody's name was Terry? Ooh. It's a spooky world. Our names are the same.
It would just be a bunch of confused people at like the butcher counter.
It would
like,
be.
I've got a pound of turkey for Terry.
It would just be, yeah, different shots of people like standing in public places yelling Terry and everybody looking.
Someone out of like ripping apart a phone booth and saying, "No, my name's Terry. I told you it's Terry. I tells you, not the Terry that owes you $5,000."
I wish everybody, you know what? Under my communism, everybody gets the same name.
Same
we'll vote though. It'll be democratic.
It's like horses. You all get the same birthday and the same name.
Yeah. Horses all get the same birthday?
Yeah. January 1st.
The horses are born on January 1st.
That's what my dad told me when I was a kid.
That's not right. I don't think that's true.
Okay.
So when a horse, so the only day that you can celebrate a horse birthday is on New Year's Day. That's all the horse birthday parties we have to throw. We need this here. We need this for humans. One birthday, January 1st.
Okay, it's Google,
humans and horses.
Google's okay, so Google's backing me up emotionally in that when I started to write "are all horses," it said born on the same day. So my people that know this is true are out there with me.
Okay.
They've probably been at a party before and been questioned by somebody like you, and let's see what the answer
when is. When are horses born? Somebody, they were just at a party and somebody's like, "When are horses born?" It's like, funny story. The same day, January 1st. It's weird that they landed on the Gregorian calendar, too.
All horses born in the same year share their official birthday as the 1st of January. This is for race horses. When racing as two-year-olds, a horse is born in the early months of the year is likely to be more mature than born later, despite officially being the same age. Yes, all race horses are born on the 1st of the year.
That feels wrong to me. That feels like kind of a... I don't know. Like it feels like unfair. It's kind of, that should be something PETA should, well, PETA doesn't want him racing.
But it makes sense. Like my daughter is 4-ish and like next year she'll be 5-ish. And like, it doesn't really happen. The day of the year that it happens, I don't think means anything. Yeah. It's a good like marker of time. But it's not really necessary to know the day.
Yeah, it's all that individualism that we fight against. You know what I mean? We're like, all this individualism, man, nothing gets done. We don't work together because of individualism. And you're like, what if we made everybody's birthday the same day? And half these communists would be like, no, my birthday's an important day.
But how crazy would that day be? That would be a great day. Everybody's birthday on the same day, there would be too much social upheaval.
The only thing I can think of would be like, it would be like Christmas or New Year's Eve.
Yeah, there you go. It's birthday! Happy birthday! And everybody running around with like birthday banners and cards and all of that stuff for each other. Oh God, that would be joyous.
It seems like a hassle though in the way that like...
I like individual birthday because you get to focus on the one person. You get to like tell them individually why they're a bad friend.
Well, you get to explain to them why you're a bad friend on their birthday. You're like, hey, I said happy birthday. That's about all I'm doing here.
You thought we were friends. We're acquaintances. Now you know that because I got you a $5 gift.
Well, I think like if everybody's birthday was on the same day, you'd run into the same issue we've been having with Thanksgiving and New Year's Day and New Year's Eve and stuff, where it's like some people have to work to facilitate Christmas, Thanksgiving,
that's
and New
true.
Year's Eve.
It's everybody's birthday, everybody's gonna go to a restaurant and have them sing happy birthday cha 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 to them.
Yeah, so the people singing happy birthday, they don't get to celebrate their birthday.
But it will be their birthday. Well, that's just
got a January 2nd. Birthday.
No, but if we're doing Utopia, then it's just like some birthdays you got to work and some you don't, right? Like some of us, you know, we'll have to.
I don't think anybody really has to work that day. That's the thing about Utopia
that's true.
The thing like about it.
Yeah.
You can have a day where nobody has to work. Like I was driving last night.
People will be dying and shit, though, like on them days.
That's the worst way to think of it. People would be fine. Most people aren't going to get as trashed as me and you, and then there'll be people to watch me and you get trashed, you know?
Okay.
But don't worry about people. New Year's Eve is like the night, right? New Year's Eve, And July 4th. I my family has been getting on me lately because I don't like the holidays, right? I don't like Thanksgiving.
Your typical dad. Typical
and I don't like Christmas.
TV
no.
dad.
Now,
typical TV dad.
Let's talk about this because my worst fears, and it probably coincides with a lot of the listeners' worst fears too, are related to finances. You know, I've been in a precarious financial situation for a lot of years. A lot of our listeners are in precarious financial situations, and Christmas, when you have a child, is like you don't want to be a bad dad. You know, you don't want to let them down. You don't want Santa Claus to be a bust for the year. And like, I know they can say, like my daughter will always be like, it's not about the presents, but a lot of it to her is about the presents. I was a kid. I understand, and I want it to be good. Maybe she's not putting that pressure on me. Maybe my wife's not putting that pressure on me. But I feel that pressure, and I don't know how to stop that pressure. It plays on some of my worst instincts. You know what I mean? It plays on some of my worst fears. So this time of year, like, it just, I don't want to let you down with a bad gift. I don't want to let my wife down with a bad gift. Like, there's a lot of, it feels to me like there's an inordinate amount of risk around Christmas. And that's why I don't like it. And I can't help it. I don't hate holidays, though. I am like Johnny July 4th, man. I go crazy on fucking July 4th. Even though I hate America, I go nuts. Labor Day, I go nuts. I go fucking crazy on Memorial Day. The summer holidays are great. There's no pressure around those holidays. And I can let go and I can relax and I can have fun. But this time of year, I've had a kid for 13 years. And every year I go through like a crisis in my mind about did I do it right? Did I do a good job?
Well, those feelings certainly aren't a gift for me, Brian. So please shut them up inside of you and don't share them.
Yeah, no, I understand. I like, that's the other reason why.
I mean, yeah,
I want to be fun. I want to be a guy that people are like, I love to spend the holidays with them. And generally, by the time the holiday comes around, I'm a fun guy. I'm the same normal guy that I am all year. But in the run up to it, I have turmoil in my mind that's happening, and I can't not have that. You know what I mean? It won't go away.
If you say so.
Well, I don't know what to do. I've been trying. I don't feel like I go too crazy anymore.
You never.
I also think Thanksgiving has like trash food too. I just
it has
don't
terrible
like Thanksgiving.
Food.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, I seen kids that only got a lunchbox for Christmas and fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean if your kid is ungrateful for their gift, you fire them out the fucking door, man. Ain't your kid no more. If they like, because that's the Christmas story too, is like it's all weepy and like poverty and shit, and like Jesus was all poor. So I don't know, the gift stuff, I don't feel no type of way about it. I mean, I love the holidays, and if I have the money to spend, I do, and if I don't then I don't.
You don't have that thing in your mind where like I want to buy somebody that I really care, like even like, I'll just, for an example, even you, like I want to buy you something good that you like, and then if I don't get that, then I feel like in your mind, you're like, this motherfucker doesn't know me. This motherfucker is just a turd.
Oh, wow. No, that's you roll that back.
I know. No, I know that's not the way you feel. I know
it's the
that.
Best day. You get shit just thrown at you that you don't even like. In some stuff, you're like, I don't like this. I don't even know why someone gave this to me, but I have it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's like I had this grandma that would buy us like the worst pants, and the pants never fit.
Did she give you the receipt?
No. And they didn't fit.
Cold.
These pants didn't fit. They didn't give you the receipt. You just took them home, and my parents and us would just laugh and laugh and laugh about these bad pants that they would get us. And it's just like, man, like she did she's trying, I guess, but it felt like the minimum. And we would joke around about how she did the minimum. And it's just like, but I mean, honestly, she left her house and went to a store and bought something, you know?
Yeah.
And like, in my mind, the way I think about it now, when somebody gets me something that I don't care for, a lot of times, like, people maybe are a little more worried about me for some reason, and they get me like gift cards because they just think that like there's no way I can get him something that he would ever like because he hates everything, you know.
Well, also you also have that unfortunate problem is that people, the stuff that you like, nobody has fun buying it. You're like, go to ProWrestlingTees.com. They have this grab bag that you can get that would send me over the moon. Like, I don't want to buy stupid wrestling stuff.
I know. I realize that. But those are the things that I don't buy myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think about the things I don't... When Christmas comes up, I think about the things I would never buy myself. Like, this year, I it's so out of the price range. And it drives me crazy, but all I want is a Nintendo Switch. And nobody wants to get that for me. And my wife is never going to, like, even if we had the money to get me a Switch, no fucking way she would do that. Because she would be like, you're just going to sell it to pay your to pay bills sometime. And I'm like, you got a good point there. But right now, I feel like I need a Nintendo Switch.
You got, man, you're playing the game all wrong. You need to do your finances better. You got to buy your own toys. You got to sock away $20 for yourself until you get that money for the Switch. You take care of yourself year round. You just be the person that buys what you want. And then the Christmas stuff is fluff. It's like whatever somebody wants to throw at you. I mean, sometimes people really nail it. But other than that, it's like, it's cool. It's nice.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I do like Christmas because it's usually the one type of year where I get new socks and new underwear, and it like feels good to throw away the ones that the whole crotch is blown out of.
Yeah.
Or the sock with the hole in the front where your stupid toe sticks out of it.
My policy, as soon as I pull one of those out of the dryer, I rip a gigantic hole and make them unusable. Because otherwise, I'll keep walking on them for 18 more months.
Me too. Me too. I just threw away socks that I bought in like 2005 recently that I'd been wearing. Because it was just like, they were like the color of, they looked like they'd been soaked in coffee.
Oh, God.
White socks.
That some were beefy like, stew that's in your boot. Like that's cooked up in your football. It's like laced as tight as a football.
I know. I do. I wear tight shoes, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I hope that like I'm in the minority of people in my feelings about Christmas. But I do think that like it's something that like a lot of times we'll tend to be like, you're just not being fun. You should just be able to give in. And this is like the time of year where like I prove that I'm not perfect. Like I go through, it's already winter. I'm already going through the like everything's dying. I'm miserable. I'm not like
your seasonal depression's kicking in.
Yes. Yeah. And then it's like,
that's a sad
shit. Now it's like everybody wants a bunch of money from me too. Like it just,
I have to say that I still have never met any official person agreement or anywhere that says you're obligated to buy anything for anybody. And I've really never even seen someone blow up on someone for not getting somebody a gift.
Me neither.
I've never seen anything that petty happen in my life.
Me neither. And I don't think anybody that me and you are friends with would even be that way. You know,
yeah, I know. Now, like, send in your crazy stories, families, or you, but those of you in dysfunctional families, please send us your stories where a lot of shame and love was tied into a gift and sent under the tree like a ticking time bomb.
And Thanksgiving's like this really weird thing now that like it is one day where you don't have the same kind of pressure that Christmas provides.
No, yeah, Thanksgiving is cool. I mean, it's really the ideal holiday. It's just like get together with your family and eat food. But
dismal food.
Yeah, that's the problem though. These classics, we millennials shake up all kinds of industries, but I would like to see some truffle oil at the Thanksgiving dinner plate or something a little bit better than the classics. Like that cheesy casserole shit has got to go. Too corn. Greasy.
We got corn casserole we're making. I just went and bought the stuff. Bought a bunch of cans and frozen potatoes. And it's just like we're better than this.
Nobody likes
this is the only time of year that we're not better than this.
Both moms that I hang out with after school were like, I fucking hate turkey.
Me
They're
too.
Like, it's the worst to eat.
It's like, I don't eat meat very much anymore. I'm like 90% vegetarian. I'm going to waste a meat on fucking turkey. Like, stick that turkey up your ass.
Oh, I love turkey, dude. I would go back for some turkey, man.
Smoked turkey is good. Like, if you get the barbecue kind of smoked turkey.
With dumplings, man, or with the big fat noodles.
I actually like the turkey sandwiches. Like,
oh, yeah. Day. Dude, I always like to make those after day sandwich that has, like, turkey stuffing and cranberry sauce. That's my favorite sand.
Yeah.
The Carver. I like to do the, like, the Wawa Thanksgiving Carver.
Yeah, that is good.
Style.
You know what? You know what the thing about Thanksgiving that's been getting me is, like, now that we're online, it seems like every year there's like 25 articles about how to get into arguments on Thanksgiving. And like, I look at those and I feel like the thing I'm most thankful for probably is that I have a job where everybody knows my politics and they don't want none, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is a looming terror in most people's minds. I think that's what it makes an easy article to write, because you saw somebody share an Obama was a transgender crack whore meme before, an article. You saw them share it, but now you're going to go and sit at a fucking table with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you and I have talked before, and like, you'll go spend time with family and they will drive you fucking crazy just in like a couple hours that you spend with them, just on, because you spend more time with not your in-laws, not your family, but you spend more time with extended family than I spend with extended family. I have brothers and sisters, but I see them as more friends. Like, I hang out with them more than probably normal people hang out with their brothers and sisters. And like, we all have roughly the same kind of politics and all that stuff's normal. It's like that mix when you get to the place and you see people. Like,
I go to larger family gatherings.
Yes, I don't do that. Like, that's not something that exists for me. I go to like 20
to 100 people gatherings.
Yeah. But, and you're just, you know, you're going to hear stuff that you don't like. And like, it's really weird, because remember when we did that show with Delete Your Account after the election? And we talked about how, like, we can't be passive anymore. Like, we can't just, we gotta stop letting things slide, because if we keep letting things slide, we're just always letting things slide. But, like, my inclination is to let things slide on Thanksgiving. And, like, I feel like that is also, though, maybe one of the only opportunities these people have to hear a dissenting opinion that's not just somebody that's, like, that's not just somebody that they're just going to blow off. Or like, because, you know, these Trump dudes probably sit and scream at their wife for hours and hours about the NFL players taking knees. And the wife is just like, oh, Jesus. Okay, whatever, you know. Don't watch the football anymore if that's going to make you happy. You know what I mean? But, like, now you're to a point where, like, these Trump people are basically boycotting everything. You know, they don't want to watch football. They don't want to watch movies. They don't want to go to Target. They don't like most music. And they're going to say something. Like, they want a fight. And then when you give them what they want, you end up being the bad guy in the end. Like, every time, I feel like you can never win if you're like, this motherfucker was angling for a fight. They were saying things that they knew were going to get to me. They know I'm a left. They know I'm left or a liberal. They probably assume you're a Democrat or something like that. Right. And they fucking know that. And a lot of times, and I've been around them, they'll just say things like, yeah, well, you know, good thing, you know, Antifa, good thing Trump's going to make Antifa illegal. And you're like, do you even know what fucking Antifa, like, you want to get in their shit, you know? And it's just a weird thing. Like, I hope if you're listening to this after Thanksgiving, or if you're like, I would love to hear stories about what actually happened, because I'm not 100% convinced that these arguments happen. I think they're things we're prepping for, that people try to be as easygoing as possible in these situations.
I mean, a lot of them are jokey, too. I mean,
yeah,
it's, you know, it seems like it can blow up, but really the way to make it through is humor. And if you don't lose your shit, which you can never do. You can never show that you're mad.
No.
You got to be a Cameron on this. And yeah, basically, if somebody says something, just joke back, you know, and don't be hurt and don't try to change their mind or make them apologize for what they said. But you're right. I mean, they seem to believe it's like whenever I'm around these fucking people, they always got to say something sexist. You know, it's just like, why do you, are you just always like this or you're just doing it because I'm here and you want to kind of rib me? You know,
yeah,
just say men are like this or women are like that. And it's like, gee, well, am I supposed to take the bait now and flip out and ruin this dinner or something?
Yeah, you're not allowed to take the bait ever.
Yeah,
I'm not allowed to take the bait. Like, taking the bait means that now somebody's going to leave.
They
crying.
Proved it right. I mean, they had it. They already had it set up in their mind that we're little crybaby firecrackers that blow up for no reason. We have a short fuse. And so they proved it.
I mean, I've been in arguments with people that I actually care about where it's like and they end poorly, you know, and you're just like, man, I'm sorry that like we disagreed and now you feel like I've been mean to you.
Yeah.
Brett and I've had situations like because we hang out in kind of the same social circles and now Brett and I don't agree on everything, but we agree on a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to like the Democrats and shit like that. And like people have this impression that we're ganging up on people and we're baiting people to gang up on people. But it really is like neither one of us yell. We're not like the yelling type and we're really just shooting to try to get them to see why we feel the way we do about these things or to see that there's a different perspective that happens maybe to the left of what liberalism might be. And like I don't know why, but I guess like it seems like there's no way to do these things without there being some kind of misery. You know, and it's just like, I wish I could just, I feel like every time I jump in and I do this conversation thinking I have the best of intentions. And in the end, I come out and like somebody's crying.
But let's be for real. We fucking hate each other. We want nothing to do with each other. And we could have a different states where we would not have to be involved with each other. We would all sign up for that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I do. I think that.
Like we're mashing together people that hate each other. Just because they share the same chromosomes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the Friendsgiving thing is the most... like
the best.
I basically get to do that. I mean, there's a part during the day where the whole family shows up, but the whole family kind of gets their eyes right in on that football and doesn't... like, my family like is like mostly robots. So there's not a lot of arguing going on. And like, you know, I want to have fun. I want to talk about fun shit. They like to rib me because I wear dirty jeans and like they love that stuff. And like I just let them go, you know. I saw this story today from CNBC, Brett, and it was about Thanksgiving. I just want to read this thing for you just to give you give you a little something to rail against,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
If you want to be successful, you'll have to put in the work, says John D. Spooner, author of No One Ever Told Us That, Money and Life Lessons for Young Adults, and that could include coming in over the holidays. Spooner is a Harvard-educated, Boston Globe number one best-selling author who was named one of 100 best financial advisors in America by financial investment website Barron's. And he says that unless you inherited wealth and position, you'll have to make some trade-offs in order to get what you want. One of them may be that you have to show up to work even when nobody is there.
He's right. No, I mean that's absolutely the best advice for getting ahead in America.
Yeah.
That is one of the secrets to success.
Yeah. But it also,
what everybody is saying is, why is it like that?
It's such a lack of solidarity too.
Yeah.
It's a real lack of solidarity. One of my favorite parts of this new Punisher series is that his job is knocking down brick walls with a hammer. Okay. He's got this sledgehammer and he has to knock down brick walls with the sledgehammer.
Sounds like a video game loading screen.
Well, dude, in Rambo, all of his jobs are pounding things with hammers too. If you ever watch the beginning of all the Rambo movies, he's either breaking rocks with a hammer or pounding like some steel with a hammer. And it's just that's like the coolest job you can have if you're one of these guys.
Nada from They Live.
Yeah, is he a hammer guy too?
Yeah, he was a drifter construction worker.
It's the coolest job. Basically, if I write anything, you'll know it was me that wrote it if the person's job is bashing things with a hammer, cuz I think that's the coolest job you can have. But the rest of the crew comes up to him at one point and he had been working overtime, like without getting paid, because this motherfucker, dude, he just likes breaking stuff with a hammer.
Sure.
He's good at it. He's not in it for
the
money.
He excels.
He's not in it for the money. He's in it for the love of the game, you know? And they come in and they're like, you're making everybody look bad. We don't want to be here all night working. You're here working. They make us work, you know? And it's like, shit, that is a damn good point. And when I read this, that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, you're going to damn, I know you want to get ahead, right? And they're saying get ahead. But like, what is this thing where like you give everything up? Like where the advice that this guy that made it is basically give everything to your boss, give everything to them, and then you can get ahead.
That is the work ethic that we have here. But I mean, we're behind like Japan. I mean, I think they got us beat.
Their
people are working harder than we are even.
It says other successful entrepreneurs such as self-made millionaire Grant Cardone agrees. There are 168 hours in a week, Cardone tells CNBC. You should be working most of them. He said he logs about 95 hours of work each week.
That's sad.
It's a sickness.
That sucks, man. Yeah, that's not living for most of us. That's so condescending, and it really does. He's poisoning the well. Yeah. And I think that this has been the biggest clash of heads with millennials, is that we started saying we want to have work-life balance. I know that's like a TED Talk term, but once that came out, everybody was like pulling their hair out. And yeah, we need way – we aren't even close to having a work-life balance. We're working – all the time.
Yeah. And these articles are written for people online to read. Like this article is probably showing up in people's Facebook feeds where it's giving this advice, where it's like, show up on Thanksgiving, Christmas, even Valentine's Day and Columbus Day to focus on getting ahead, suggests Cardone. If you want to change your condition, you have to work, he says. And if you can outwork the rest of the population, you're going to get lucky. That's also not fucking true. There are other people that are working these long hours that aren't going to get ahead, that are spinning their wheels at like, because they're telling people that work in spreadsheet farms to do this,
right?
That sort of thing, where it's like, if your boss knows that you're at work on Thanksgiving, then the next time somebody, you'll maybe get up to making $50,000 a year.
Right.
This is not like there's a finite number of billionaires and millionaires out there.
Right. This isn't going to get you a yacht.
Yeah. Still, Spooner acknowledges that putting in too many extra hours can have its downsides. There are negatives to working your tails off and complaining and climbing various ladders to success. You could get rich, but at what personal cost? Almost all billionaires I have known are unbelievably focused on the business of their career, he says. You have to understand that what you're willing to give up to attain great wealth. And it's like, I don't want people to have great wealth.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't have it either, motherfucker. You should be living just like me, and then, like, I don't know what you'd be doing. Do something that's good for the world instead of hoarding resources. That's your role in the world, is hoarding resources. If you're encouraging billionaires and you want people to become billionaires, what are you really encouraging? You know, what are you telling people to do? You're telling them to hoard resources. And I want to spread that shit out, man. I just don't work on fucking Thanksgiving. Street Fight is the is the mirror to this. And I want to tell you, don't fucking work on Thanksgiving. Don't come in on Columbus Day. Have sex with your old lady on Valentine's Day, or your man, or whoever, you know, just fuck on Valentine's Day. You should be allowed to do that. Have a family. Have a fucking rich life. Don't just sit in a room in a fucking suit and yell at people all day. Nobody wants that. Fuck you. You know?
Yeah, I don't think you should get $1 billion for wearing a suit in the summer and screaming at people.
Yeah, exactly. It helps to budget your times. There are exceptions to this obsession with a focus and prize at all on a prize at all costs, Spooner says. Even while dedicating a great deal of time to his profession, he adds, I still had dinner with my entire family virtually every night. Oh, I'm sure they loved it. I mean, I'm sure you spent fucking 15 minutes with your family and fucking listened to your kids say like what they did at school and then said, oh, okay.
No, he power listened. He power listened by stacking the time to listen to multiple stories at once. He had all of his kids explain their day at the same time, and he like got in a meditative position and listened to him.
Yeah. I mean, this article is so wild to me. You want to minimize friction and find the most effective, most efficient way forward, Hoffman tells the Tim Ferriss Show podcast host, you might actually have more grit if you treat your energy as this precious commodity.
See, I do. I mean, I work all the time for this, and it's a passion thing, so it is rewarding in its own way. To think of somebody doing this for like a call center job is absolutely fucking outrageous.
Right, and that's
like
what
to
this-
people that are like answering phones or people that are. Like doing claims adjustments, you know, I'm just going to sign and answer emails on a Christmas morning here, you know, just to get a little extra work in.
Yeah. I don't feel like this article wasn't just written for millionaires. These are guys propaganda.
This is propaganda. You're right. This is what somebody that is like retiring this year with like a pension because they had a job from 50 years ago is like, see, that's all I did. You know, it's that easy, folks. You just work all the goddamn time. If you're working all the goddamn time, you don't ever retire. That's the secret of life.
I always say that about this job, too. I'm like, well, you know, I want to work till I'm dead. But guess what? I'm fucking like having fun at my like. I'm doing what I want to be doing. Like, for my job is the thing that I love to do. I love to talk in my spare time. Like, talking is my favorite thing in the world to do. Talking is my job.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really there's that voice inside of everybody that calls them to do something. But it's probably not going to be, like, throwing boxes or you know, doing medical billing transcripts.
Yeah, and I really see, I think the people that get affected by these things are the people that are like spinning their wheels in like kind of a middle class position read this shit, and then they're like, well, this is what it's going to take to get ahead. And what if there's only so many jobs on the board?
Well,
of
that's
directors.
Like, I mean, you're right. I mean, and that was like Dallas and Virginia where people had $400,000 McMansions and shit, but they were spending all of their time at Walmarts and like Staples and Best Buys. They lived right off of the freeway, you know, like it was a piss poor ticky-tacky lifestyle, but it cost a bajillion dollars to keep up with, and you do work 90 hours a week.
Yeah,
you know, and you're spending all of this money on worthless shit, and like the payoff, I mean, the relief of not having to handle $1 billion is much better. Yeah. Much better. That's my argument.
Yeah. I just really don't work holidays if they're, I mean, I understand
nobody
that they're going to make you work. And like, if you're a person out there,
don't
that,
cross that. Have some ethics.
Well,
sorry.
I think about it like this, man, because I do know that there are people who use this week, people in retail who use this weekend or use like Thanksgiving Day. A lot of times they'll pay you time and a half or double time and a half. And like, I totally get like, as I was talking about earlier, that pressure of having money to buy your kids things, especially when you're in a precarious position with your finances or with your job. Like, I mean, there's people that are going to volunteer to do that shift. And you just hope that they make it up on the back end at some point, that the business helps them make up that time that they miss with their family on the back end. I don't think that happens. I think that, like, a person that works at Speedway is going to work on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Eve. Like, they're not going to give them those days off, and they don't make it up in the end. But there are always people that will volunteer for it. There's like always like a single dude that doesn't have any kids that's always like, no, I like to work, I get all kinds of time and a half, you know. And I'm like, I don't want to take it away from them, but I kind of want to take this away from them and make them find something else. But I also don't want them to sit in a studio apartment and eat a Hungry Man turkey dinner in front of the TV while he's boycotting the NFL, so he's got to watch something else.
No, I'm all for shutdown for 24 hours, hard shutdown, except for hospitals. Everything else shut down.
Right. I was driving the other
night. If you got a beg, borrow, or steal, there ain't no transactions happening.
Right. I dropped Erica off after the Sunday show. We didn't finish that show until, like, I didn't get home until 2:30. At 2:30 in the morning, and I got followed by two cops at that time. And I was kind of thinking while they were following me, what the fuck are you doing out here? We're the only two cars on the road. You know, you don't just go home and we'll call you if we need you. Because they're always like, essential, cops are essential. And it's like, I mean, can't they just, no, they don't need to be driving. Because, like, so tomorrow night and Thursday, they're going to be clocking people down the road. And so many people get speeding tickets right around now, and Christmas Eve and Christmas. Like, they're actively trying to get people because they know a lot of people are traveling. And that's a thing that makes me fucking nuts, that they know what's going on. There's usually not a ton of people on the road on these days, and there's just fucking cops everywhere trying to siphon some money out of them at the time of the year where money is the tightest that it can be, you know?
Well, they'll put you on a payment plan if you can't afford it in December.
I don't care. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. You know, I'm maxing out my credit cards right now, buying the damn wife, buying my husband a Nintendo Switch.
Hey, it's not called maxing out the credit cards. It's called earning rewards points.
Oh, frequent flyer miles. Oh, man. So I saw this story earlier in the week. We can switch gears from misery.
Oh, yeah. Can I have, I had one more thing to add to the government programs in the beginning.
Yeah.
What do you think we need to do about haircuts? I think we need to get them to people because there's a lot of fucked up hair out there.
No, I think they're fine.
I think we should shave people's heads.
I mean, I'd be fine with that. I do that. I mean, you should. Okay. But What if I say this? You, the government will provide you with a shaved head. And that's the minimum.
Okay.
It's like haircut welfare, right?
Right.
Like, it's like, okay, so.
But I disagree. I think you should be able to. I think I'm kind of into the North Korea system where maybe they will have like 12 cuts you can get.
Nope.
You can pick from 12 cuts, but they are free. Not compulsory, but free. Because I mean, I understand they cost money, and I hate getting mine done. Even though I enjoy it, it's like the best feeling in the world. But I like stretch it to like 6 to 8 weeks or like 6 months, you know, at other times and years before that. So I just feel like some people would like to get their hair cut that can't. And I want to make haircuts available so that they can be looking nice and be looking their best out here. Be all crispy fresh.
I want to do that too, Brett. I want to make haircuts available. You can go to the post office where you can also do your banking.
Right.
And you can get your head shaved.
Okay.
For free.
Okay.
But nothing else. We're not going to be styling. And it'll just,
why so boring?
They'll teach
it
the
sounds
people.
Like you're trying to make everybody like you.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm not, though. I'm saying that you could pay some money to get your hair cut, right? You could go somewhere and they will cut your hair like you do, the beautiful haircut that you have that everybody loves. You can still get that. Maybe the price goes down a little bit.
Okay.
That takes time. You have to be good at it. You have to, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of factors to it. Where, like, shaving the head is pretty easy.
Yes,
I do
like
it
sheep.
Myself to myself. And like, you could teach the people at the post office to do that. So the people behind the counter at the post office would be taught then how to shave hair.
It'd be
and
teller and hair buzzer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
Like, and do male stuff.
Yeah. Because people respect a shaved head. Like, I'm not shaved right now. I'm in hibernation, so I'm letting the hair grow. I got a beard right now, a really patchy beard right now, and I will have that in Indianapolis on December 7th when we do a live show. I won't be shaving.
Yeah, chick with a shaved head is the coolest too, right?
I think it is, but you know, I'm sure there are dudes out there that definitely disagree with me.
That's
but
true.
I mean, for a woman, you can just have that regular old straight hair. Like, they'll give you they'll cut your split ends off. That's what it is. Like, my wife will sometimes for $15 just go, you know, trim that shit up, or my daughter will do that. You can have that for free.
Okay.
We can also teach the people at the post office that.
What about braiding? We need braiding too.
No. Nope.
There has to be braiding.
And the post office. No, you can't braid at the goddamn post office.
Yes, you can.
They ain't got time.
They got
that.
Chairs there.
People
they got swivel
buy
chairs.
People still want to ship things. They're going to be doing their banking there. Everything's going to start happening at the post office soon. When I take over, it's all post office.
The post office will be the new like conglomerate, the controlling body of everything.
You're like Walmart.
This. Yeah, we have a pretty good Philip K. Dick book going here.
What's wrong with the post office? You're making it sound like
because then you can be like
dystopia.
No, because then at Thanksgiving people will be like, "Let's keep this prayer down. We don't want the post office to hear us."
You're allowed to pray.
The post office wouldn't let.
The post office is fine with prayer.
No, aren't all the commies? Don't they kill all the religious people? You have to kill the religious people to like get utopia.
I will whoop a commie's ass if they start talking about killing religious people.
They're such a big problem for us, though.
I agree. But we got to figure out a way to deal with them, you know? We'll move them all to Celebration, Florida.
Okay.
Or that Catholic community that the owner of Domino's made out there.
I don't know that one.
Oh, you didn't know that? The owner of Domino's is like a super Catholic guy, like donates to pro-life stuff and stuff. He also like just basically bought a city and now has like this religious city down in Florida. Just let motherfuckers buy a city.
Yeah, that's nice. We can get Street Fight City coming to Florida.
Yeah,
someday.
But all the stuff we want to do would be against the law. We can't like legalize cocaine down there.
But there's plenty available.
Sure.
We're closer to the source.
Yeah. The fucking government would be so mad if we bought a city. Donate to the Patreon and we'll start looking into buying a city.
We're going to get a city.
If we had Chapo money, we'd already own a city.
For sure. For sure.
Did you see the story earlier in the week? I'm looking at it off of Mother Jones, but I just want to kind of switch gears a little bit because I really wanted to get this in this week. In Fort Bend County, Texas, the debate over free speech has come down to a now infamous bumper sticker. Fuck Trump and fuck you for voting for him. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. I kind of half read it.
Last week, Fort Bend County Sheriff Troy Nell suggested in a Facebook post that the owner of the truck bearing the remark could be arrested and charged with disorderly conduct.
What?
After the sheriff's office received complaints about it.
Oh, okay. Wait, so you can just complain shit out of existence now?
You can call the police and say, somebody said, fuck Trump. I'm offended by that.
Uh-huh.
Could you please arrest that person? And that's nothing to do with like safe spaces or any of that stuff. That's a different thing. The word, it's got fuck in it. So obviously it needs to be eradicated.
Yeah, someone should go to jail for this.
Yes. Disorderly conduct is the most sham-ass charge in the world. They're always threatening disorderly conduct. You can't do anything without those fuckers saying like, well, you know, we could charge you with disorderly conduct. And it's like, God, fucking, what is disorderly, man? It's not, I don't think it's disorderly to put your political opinions on the back of your car. I think it's a time-honored American tradition. Are you going to pull somebody over for having the 1-800-EAT-SHIT bumper sticker too?
Yeah, I mean, fuck you fuckity fuck has been around for a long time.
That's how you know this is a conservative thing, by the way. That's how you know this is Republicans calling in and the same Republicans that probably scream about millennial safe spaces. This is how you know it's them calling in, because there's just this long history of offensive bumper stickers. That's kind of like, that's the most American thing. We love offensive bumper stickers and we love offensive t-shirts.
Yeah, way before we were putting offensive memes on Facebook, we would put a sticker on the outside of the vehicle we could lock ourselves inside of.
Or like, right, like we would wear a shirt that says shit happens on it. And it would just be like, has these people ever been to Spencer's Gifts? That place got everything in there. They would be a First Amendment disaster if they went in there.
There's a lot of disorderly conduct happening at Spencer's Gifts in the mall.
There's tons. Yeah. That owner happened to be Karen Fonseca, who a day later was arrested on an outstanding warrant on fraud charges from 2015.
Oh.
Got it. Yeah. That's horse shit. They went and found something on this person. What's the fraud? I mean, it's not. It's probably, you know what the fraud charges probably are, dude? Bad check.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. My mom, my 70-year-old mom, when she was like 60 fucking five, spent a night in jail for a bad check. And it's like, she's got goddamn Alzheimer's disease. Like, what are you jailing her for?
Yeah, I went to court for a check before. They would have put me in jail if I didn't pay for it, but I just paid for it.
I thought you were allowed. I thought writing bad checks was like a thing.
It's
like
a whoopsie daisy. If you want cold hard cash and that's all you're willing to take, then take that. But if you'll take this little flimsy ass piece of paper with numbers written all over it, that's on you.
If you trust my signature.
Yeah, if you think that I would, if you really believe that I give a shit about my signature and the value of it, then
I mean, that's your mistake.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
if you trust in me,
yeah,
that's on you. That shit's on you, man. You look at me. Look at the way I'm dressed right here. Yeah. Like, Brett's got a neck tattoo of a shark.
Yeah, I'm not gonna stand by what I write here.
Yeah. So was arrested on an outstanding warrant on fraud charges from 2015. Nels, who is considering a bid for Congress in 2018, later deleted the Facebook post. Then, over the weekend, Fonseca struck back in her own way, adding another decal to her white GMC Sierra. Fuck Troy Nels and fuck you for voting for him.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
I want to pay. I hope there's a way to pay for this person's like legal fees.
Can we tip her some Bitcoins or get her GoFundMe?
There better be a GoFundMe for Sheriff Nels. On the steps outside of the Bend County Justice Center on Monday.
No, not for Sheriff Nels.
No, for her. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. For Kate Fonseca.
Right.
Hero. I mean, shit, this seems like such a cut and dried.
This is America, man. Our kids have been writing fuck all over their stuff for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and
you can put whatever you want. It's not like everybody's writing fuck Trump on every surface like we should be. This lady's just doing what everybody should be doing.
That's her damn property. You should be allowed to put any kind of dirty word you want on the back of your pickup truck.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's sick to me, man. Like, that fuck Trump is like a very important, like, being allowed to say fuck the president, I thought was one of the things that we're supposed to be proud of America for.
Yeah.
Like, I might not agree with you, but I'll die for your right to say it. And it's like, this fucking shithead sheriff why would the sheriff he spent his time chasing this woman to harass her.
He had the power.
I have the power.
Yeah, he did it.
Nels said in a press conference last Wednesday that he supported freedom of speech, adding the sheriff's office hadn't threatened anyone with arrest. They did. I think now would be a good time to have meaningful dialogue with that person and express the concerns out there regarding the language on the truck. Fuck your fucking kids. How about that? If your kid hasn't heard the word fuck, then just keep them in the house for the rest of their fucking life. Fuck them. Fuck those kids. Fuck your family. You don't get to fucking leave the house and not be faced with pieces of shit like me who like to say fuck.
Yeah, we need to get some sort of it's like headphones, like Beats headphones, but it's noise canceling for the world. And you can buy them for your kids. Yeah. And they'll never have to hear the outside world.
Yeah, this woman is such a hero to me, because then she stood on the court steps and she was like, no matter what race, religion, or belief you may have, we are all equal. Not any one of us is better than anyone else, Fonseca told reporters. Everyone's voice should be heard, and I'm just one person who says fuck the president.
I want to throw her a dozen roses.
I do too. I want Kate Fonseca, come on Street Fights.
Yeah. I want to get a portrait tattoo of you.
She's so perfect. She's like the woman that works in HR at your job. Like the way that, like, the,
well,
like,
yeah, and it's just like, people are so goddamn nasty and disgusting as it is. Why, you know, this has been really, this was the creation of Street Fight. I mean, this is honestly the little seed that sprouted us, was just like, why can't we just fucking say out loud that we think everybody should be treated equally?
Yeah.
You know, like, why is it a fucking problem to say that I want that rich kid's money? Like, I think that rich kid's money should go to those poor kids right there. You know, like, fuck this. We get stamped out. They literally use the government against leftist speech and anarchist materials and all that shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, she just went as simply as saying fuck Trump, which they've already taken this to court before. You're allowed to say you want to kill the president.
I believe that too. Yeah.
Yeah, they tried to take that one dude to court for saying if he gets drafted to Vietnam, he's going to turn his gun on LBJ. Who is that guy? That fucking badass guy. I forgot his name, man.
I love him.
I got to get his name, because
fucking cowards, like, just worry about words. It's just words. I thought that, like, and when I posted this as a thing on Facebook when I first saw the Facebook post, I posted it on Twitter and said, they called the police on a bumper sticker. And I got a few family people. They're like, you just can't drive around with the word fuck on your car. What if kids see it? And I'm like, I don't give a shit what your kids see. My kid hears the word fuck.
When I was in DC, they had them abortion trucks that drove around all the goddamn time. Mutilated body parts, crazy ass shit, going to hell, you know, all the most hateful shit in the world. Tons of those people were down there. And you know, for 5 to 10 seconds as we drove by, there was some weird imagery that went on, but then the rest of our day there was nothing else that offensive going on.
Yeah.
You see fuck Trump and it's like, well, she's saying it, and it's like, then you leave it. And
what kind of decorum?
It's not anywhere else.
What kind of decorum do you expect for the grab him by the pussy guy?
Exactly.
That's the world we fucking live in, you know? Oh, man. Yeah. You got this person's name?
I don't.
Okay. Well, hey, it don't matter. He said he wanted to shoot LBJ. That was cool as shit that he said that. I got one last story for us to hit, Brett, before we take our 4 days off.
Okay.
Okay?
Let's hear it.
And it's a story that 400 people have sent to me, so you know that it's very important. So this is from the Washington Post. Seeking to prove that a conspiracy of astronauts fabricated the shape of the Earth, a California man intends to launch himself 1,800 feet high on Saturday in a rocket he built from scrap metal.
I can see it happening.
Hey, you know, assuming the 500-mile-per-hour, mile-long flight through the Mojave Desert does not kill him, Mike Hughes told the Associated Press his journey into the Atmos Flat will mark the first phase of his ambitious flat Earth space program. I love this.
Yeah, I gotta like tell it. He knows what he's doing, it sounds like.
I mean, he calls it the Atmos Flat, which, because it's not a sphere.
Sure. I wonder what his math is based in then.
I'm worried. I'm kind of worried about him a little bit, but I also do think, like, you know, guys keep making fun of people for saying the Earth is flat. One of them's going to go damn try and prove it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop it. I do admire the tenacity, and I would rather just go into, like, a rocket ship and take a look for myself, but I don't think I'm going to get that invitation. And if I had the grit and determination, I would build my own rocket.
I mean, I'd like to see what this thing looks like from that high up. I'm interested. I'm this rocket looks scary, though.
Oh, no.
It looks like a missile, sort of.
I'm worried. Yeah, I don't know now. I just don't want it to be like a bunch of, like, weird journalists people show up to watch some dude commit suicide.
Hugh's ultimate goal is a subsequent launch that puts him miles above the Earth, where the 61-year-old limousine driver hopes to photograph proof of the disc we all live on.
I think it's
that's a great way to get that's the best shot.
And that's the only, you know what I have to say? This is the only way you can know for sure. Like, this guy, whatever happens when he lands after that is one thing, but before that, he's going to know for sure what the goddamn Earth looks like from that high up.
He's going to get to find out. He's going to see the damn curvature.
He's going
to
unlock the
if
flatness.
There's curvature, obviously there might
be. He's going to see a beautiful ice wall just staring right back at him.
Here's some quotes for him. "It'll shut the door on this ball Earth, huge city." You said in a fundraising interview with a flat earth group for Saturday's flight. Theories discussed during the interview included NASA being controlled by round earth Freemasons and Elon Musk making fake rockets from blimps.
Could we get Slim Jim or Doritos step in and maybe get this guy set up with some sort of real deal science shit? Red Bull went to space. They threw a guy up from outer space and they did it inside of a film studio and released the video. But for somebody that's doing this, I feel like some corporate sponsors might could step in and do some philanthropy of some sort.
Red Bull, baby. Red Bull see this rocket and be like, let's make you a different rocket.
Let's set you up with a real rocket. We're going to give you the full fucking space experience. Just let this mother just blow his mind. Take him to outer space and blow his mind.
Why doesn't Elon Musk do it for
him? Yeah, SpaceX this guy.
SpaceX this motherfucker. SpaceX this 61-year-old limousine driver. I'm sorry. I don't like to say,
he sees some shit, man.
I drove for Lyft. I'm not making fun of the job or anything. I'm saying that I hope he's done some just a tiny bit of research on velocity and stuff like that.
Yeah. Combustion, fire. Yeah. Landing. I'm wondering is it going to just be parachute landing? Is he going to do a old cosmonaut style?
Well, Hughes promised the flat earth community that he would expose the conspiracy.
Thank you.
With his steam powered rocket, which will launch from a heavily modified mobile home. Though he acknowledged that he still had much to learn about rocket science. You know what's really?
Yeah, I support this brave mission.
I do too. I do too. I hope the police. I bet the police are going to stop his ass from doing this. They ain't going to let him do this.
Yeah, this is gonna be a great movie someday.
This whole tech thing, he said in the June interview, I'm really behind the eight ball. Don't cheat yourself.
I had to convert all of this. I got a WikiHow for rocketry, but I had to downgrade it into a cassette system for my rocket engine. I'm running on a disc. I used a floppy disc for my steam engine.
Steam. He's using steam. Oh God, guy.
He's just going to get covered in boiling hot water.
Please, please, guy, please don't die out here like this.
Oh, if you do, it's all in a blaze of glory. I mean, you've seen so much from that captain's chair in the front of that sled you were riding.
I like that. And you know what? He's doing Thanksgiving with his family.
Okay.
Because he's doing it on Saturday. He can do Thanksgiving. He could even get his Black Friday shopping
done. That's true.
And you get all the presents for everybody. And then boom, you go up there, you prove the Earth's flat, come down and have a good Christmas.
Yeah, sleep it off on Sunday. Go to bed on Sunday, meditate on the flatness that you've seen.
Oh, this guy fucking rules, man. That said, Hughes isn't a totally unproven engineer. He set a Guinness World Record in 2002 for a limousine jump.
So he knows velocity. He does know some of the spherical mathematics.
This guy fucking rules, man. This is a new... you know what? Fuck all your tech bros out in Silicon Valley. This is my kind of science. This guy. I'm going to get him to write something for the science scene. If he's not dead. I feel like he's going to be dead, maybe. Hopefully, my hope right here on this show is that the rocket doesn't work and he just doesn't get to... He doesn't get to do it.
I hope that he flies up there and sends me a goddamn Polaroid of a flat ass Earth.
So it's, I do too. Okay. Here's the order of things that I want to happen here. One, he finds a picture of the flat Earth.
Right.
He takes that picture.
Best case, he comes back and just blows the science community out of the water.
Yeah. Two, he goes up there, finds out the Earth is round, and says, yo, this thing's a sphere. I'm sorry. I went up there, I looked. It's a sphere. You know, that's number two. Number three, this thing doesn't work. Like, that's number three is this shit doesn't work, and he doesn't get killed with boiling water. That's number three. And then the last desirable thing is he gets up there, takes a picture of the flat Earth, crashes, dies, but the picture is still there when we get through his stuff, and like he's just like a fucking proper legend.
He just becomes, we just build a gigantic monument to him.
We will. I mean, next month's Patreon, you like, if this guy finds out the Earth is flat and he dies in this occasion, you won't be getting your zines next month. You won't be getting your kratom because Brett and I are buying a giant copper statue of him. We will be foregoing our pay for the month.
Yeah.
And we're going to make an enormous statue to this guy because he's really a great hero in our minds.
Yeah, I mean, I support the venture. I think it's time that somebody gave it a shot. I mean, all I'm getting is government science pictures of this shit anyways.
And they're not even real pictures.
Nobody's, I don't even trust them as far as I can throw them.
No. Thank you. Thank you, smart guy. Across the table. There's he's been building rockets for years, albeit with mixed results. Okay, Waldo, 3, 2, 1, someone yells in a test fire video from 2012. There's a brief hiss of boiling water. Then, nothing. So, see, oh, no. Hughes walks up to the engine and pokes it with a stick, at which point a thick cloud of steam belches out towards the camera. He built his first manned rocket in 2014, the Associated Press reported, and managed to fly a quarter of a mile over Winkleman, Arizona.
Oh, wait, so he's been up there before.
I mean, he has been up there before.
But now he's, wait, so he's already,
but he's only done a quarter of a mile. He's trying to go a mile now.
Oh.
He's trying to go a mile up, which is a lot different from a quarter of a,
sure.
It's four of what he's already,
yeah,
done. Yeah.
That's a big leap.
Yeah. And 2014 flight was, the 2014 flight was only a quarter of the distance of Saturday's mile long attempt. And it was based on round Earth technology. But that's maybe why it didn't work. You can't, we're basing things on round Earth technology. Baller. First of all, round Earth is, when you say round, nobody is fucking saying that it's not round. I believe that the Earth can be round and flat at the same time.
Yeah, like a quarter.
Yes. Don't act like you've never seen a round flat thing before.
It's very true.
Hughes only recently converted to flat eartherism after struggling for months to raise funds for his follow-up flight over the Mojave. It was originally scheduled for early 2016 in a Kickstarter campaign from Garage to Outer Space that mentioned nothing about Illuminati astronauts. It was themed after a NASCAR event. So this guy's a carny.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what he's doing.
I like,
he's like, this. I want to get back up there. I want to get a mile up there, man. I just can't get the goddamn, I don't have enough steam power yet. I need some funds. I need some angel investors.
You know what I wish?
I need some Kickstarter. I need, that steam engine needs a kickstart.
You know what I wish he did instead of the steam engine, Brett? Like a really big pump. Like, you know those rockets?
Yeah,
that you
fuck
fill,
yeah,
with water and stick on it?
Yeah.
You pump them and it shoots up. Maybe a really big pump that just shoots it up with the water. That's something I'd like to see.
Set the Guinness World Record for that, for water rockets.
Yeah. We want to do this and basically thumb our nose at us at all these billionaires trying to do this, Hughes said, standing in his Apple Valley, California living room, which he had plastered with drawings of his rockets. They have not put a man in space yet, Hughes said. There are 20 different space agencies here in America, and I'm the last person that's put a man in a rocket and launched it. He compared himself to Evel Knievel as he promised to launch himself from a California racetrack. The first step on his steam-powered trip leaped toward space. The Kickstarter raised $310 of his $150,000 goal. Hey, guys. Please.
What the hell? We can't have a tight purse for our independent science.
Yeah, we'll get some money to this guy.
Yeah.
We got a little money.
Yeah, we can shoot him some money.
We don't have to stay in a hotel.
$300? Are you serious?
I feel bad for him, man. But yeah, he called into a Flat Earth Community web show to announce that he had become a recent convert. And he was looking for sponsors for it. So now he has raised the money.
Smart guy. Yeah. This is very smart.
He made a $20,000 rocket and had a fancy coat of Rust-Oleum paint and research Flat Earth inscribed on the side. This guy is my guy.
And I tell you what, he's probably working 90 hours a week doing this, right?
Yeah. Listen to this.
Probably not.
Yeah, he's working 90 hours a week. He's just like he's those hustling. Millionaires.
He's passionate.
He's like, there's 168 hours in the week, and I'm going to spend 95 of them researching Flat Earth. I want to be successful. I like him.
I mean, it makes sense.
He won't be able to test the rocket before he climbs inside as it attempts to steam himself.
Yikes.
At 500 miles per hour across a mile of desert air. And even if it's a success, he's promised his backers an even riskier launch within the next year into the space above the disk. It's scary as hell, Hughes told AP, but none of us are getting out of this world alive. This is true. Yet some will have to try to live to see its edges.
Damn, I mean, I could do this. If I'm going to give it a go, no matter what happens on Sunday, when I get 60, I'm going to start giving it a shot.
When you're 61, you're going to fly up in a rocket. Dude,
yeah.
Listen, we will put money aside when we're 60, when Brett is 60 and I'm like fucking 75, I will make sure that he flies up in a rocket. We gotta definitively find out the shape of this goddamn thing.
Yeah, if I can't get up there by other means before them.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if there's somebody out there that wants to bankroll us sending Brett up a mile into the sky, we're definitely willing to talk. We're definitely willing to have a meeting with some people who want to shoot Brett up into space, obviously. He wants to go. We need to see. I trust him.
I gotta know.
So I trust Brett. Brett tells me I can vouch for him, and then we'll get a definitive
case
answer.
Case closed after that point.
Case closed. Yeah, we're done.
I'm the guy that needs to know.
We're moving on to something else. Oh, well, I hope everybody listening to this show has a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving, and maybe, you know, or has had a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. And we're really thankful that you guys listen to this show and you people donate to this show. And we love you and thank you. And only more good stuff is going to come out of this in the next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, we appreciate you coming back week after week and buying the shirts, taking pre-orders, signing, you know, getting excited about the zines. They're getting better than ever. Brian has a list of what's coming out for 2018. I think we're going to post that to the Patreon so everybody has a chance to get a crack at it.
Yeah, once you look at it, email me at streetfightzine@gmail.com, and I'm going to organize these and get back to you as soon as, you know, I've got some stuff in the works for organization this weekend, so I'll know more probably next Monday about what's going to happen here.
Yeah, and so if you want more Street Fight beyond what you get, we do two times a week. We got the basement show. We got the call-in show. We also have a bonus show. If you go to patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightradio, for $1 a month, you can get our third show that comes out once a week. We got Leslie Lee talking about war games, the old ones, the good ones from WCW. We had Michael C. Siebert talking about new metal. We had Jordan from Burgerville. We've had a lot of great shows. I got another good one coming out this week, so please consider getting into that. We also have the zine. I got to let you know that I don't know what the final numbers are going to be, but in 2018, the Patreon is not going to be where it's at right now. So if you want to get that zine for a guaranteed $5 a month, you have to sign up before January 1st. We are also taking pre-orders on the Natty Bow t-shirt. It looks like the beer company with the one-eyed guy. We did it for our Baltimore show. It's at store.streetfightradio.com. Go check it out. It's a super cool color. I'm glad to get a burgundy-colored shirt. It's like that real classy shit that you can wear to family gatherings, even though it looks like a beer shirt, and you have to tell them you listen to Radical Anarchist Radio. But it'll be a great conversation starter. You can get that over at store.streetfightradio.com. We have a few of the Sad Brian shirts left as well. So if you're looking for Street Fight merchandise, we've got quite a few. Let your significant other know that's what you want this year, is a cool-ass Street Fight shirt that only like 50-some people got. So please stick with us. We're ready to get this holiday season started. One of my favorite times of the year, especially the music. I like to do the cool-ass Christmas closing songs. So if you have any suggestions, please send them to me. Punk bands, funk bands, soul, hip-hop, whatever it may be, dirty songs from 1920, at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram, or just hit us up on the Facebook page at Street Fight WCRS. And then of course, Brian's on Twitter. He's at Murder Brian, where he does his best work. So find him over there. We are Street Fight. Peace.